In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was the glory of the Lord that descended upon Mount Sinai when Moses went up to receive the testimonies. It was the glory of the Lord that descended upon the tabernacle in the tents. And it is the glory of the Lord that again is here in our gospel text. There present upon the mountain, that glory of the Lord that Moses, when he came down from the mountain, reflected from his face, that glory there on this mountain here with Jesus. Here with Moses and Elijah, those prophets of old. Here with this inner council of the apostles, Peter, James, and John. That glory is there again on the mountain, but the glory isn't reflected from Jesus' face. But Jesus is the source of that glory. He is the source of that glory because he, in fact, is fully God. The fullness of the deity, the fullness of the deity dwells in him bodily. And it wasn't as though after he was born, he took on this glory. He didn't lay it aside, but he possessed it from the very moment of his incarnation. As an embryo. There he possessed this full divine nature. There he possessed the whole glory of the divine nature. There as an embryo. There as a baby. There in the temple, hearing the word of God, growing in wisdom and stature, he possessed the glory of God. He is, after all, the King of glory. He possessed this divine nature. And there he is upon this mountain of transfiguration. There with Moses and Elijah and the inner circle of the apostles. It's as though by the very events of the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, he's teaching us yet again that he is at the center of all of the scriptures. He says, you search the scriptures, thinking in them you have life, but they are they which testify to him. All the way from Genesis to his incarnation, and now here on the mountain, they testify to him. How he's come to glorify his Father. So his Father speaks of his Son. As he speaks of his Son in the same words that we heard a week or so ago at his baptism. Behold, my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. He is pleased with his Son. Because his Son has come to glorify his name. And he glorifies his name by doing and accomplishing his will. And his will is for him, that eternal word of God, now assume this human nature to present his human nature, his very members as a living sacrifice for the whole world. For you, dearly beloved. He has come to glorify his Father by dying for you, by presenting himself as a living sacrifice for others. This is why the Father is pleased with him. Yet, at the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father adds another word. It's not just only, behold my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. It's also, listen to him. And he's not just speaking to Moses and Elijah and Peter, James, and John. He's speaking to all Christians, to all people, that we are to listen to him. You see, dearly beloved by God, the Father himself preaches sola scriptura. He preaches scripture alone. That all theology, if we want to say things about God aright, it must be according to his word. If we want to know God's will, if we want to know the comfort which Jesus brings through his gospel, we must listen to him. We must hear of him. We must hear that word, that eternal gospel which forgives sins. That word of God, as Paul says in Romans chapter 10, that word of God that gives faith by hearing. That word of God which accomplishes that which he purposes to send us his Holy Spirit from an embryo to a baby to an adult. Send us his Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin. Yet to not leave us in sin, but to move us to the comfort of the gospel. That gospel which is not out of nothing. His creation was out of nothing. He said, let there be light, and there was light. But that gospel is on account of something. It's on account of that beloved Son presenting himself on another mountain. There upon the cross for our salvation. That is the substance of the gospel. And we receive that salvation, that comfort which his sacrifice brings, we receive it through his word, by listening to him, by receiving him through his word and the physical words of his body and blood, through water and the word. We receive that gospel. And in receiving it, we are made alive. We, in fact, are transformed ourselves. That we, as Christians, are called to live lives to the glory of God in the likeness of Christ. And we glorify God when we know he's our creator. And we are his creatures. That he is the Savior and we are the sinners. We glorify God when we believe that, and we glorify God when we too present our members as a living sacrifice for God. Out of great love for him, but also out of great love for one another. When we present our members as a living sacrifice indeed for one another. This love that we show to one another. This love, which is given first by God to us, which we now reflect to one another. For there is no greater love, dear friends in Christ, than that one lay down himself, dies for his friend. And indeed, Christ, as eternal Son of God, did it. God grant us as well to do it for one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.